Hey, what up, though? It's your boy, Reggie Watkins, and you are listening to I'm Probably Right. Rate us, review us, subscribe, comment. Please don't be hating. Find us wherever you listen to your podcast. This is where you find us, but you can find it anywhere else. You know, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, SoundCloud. It's everywhere, but mainly on the Believe Podcast Network. That's BLEAV.com. My man Kevin Cleland, as always, is running the show, engineering, producing. Kevin, how you doing, brother?
Yo, what up, Reg? Good morning. Doing all right, you know. We're hitting the low point of the year with no football for the next few months. But maybe I can get all those chores done around the house my wife's been telling me to do.
Oh, yeah, I know, man. My wife is so glad football is over. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm glad football is over. I'm glad and sad because I'm going to miss the season. But I'm glad that I don't have to be glued to the TV Sunday, Monday, Thursday, watching all these games so I can give you guys all these damn takes. But now we get into basketball. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the All-Star break. Basketball. But first up. All right, Super Bowl is done and finished, and I think it was probably one of the greatest games I've ever seen.
I actually thought it was a great game, especially for a viewer that is not a fan of football. You know, the Eagles kind of dominated the first half, but Kansas City came roaring back. And I did get the spread right. I just got the wrong numbers. So I did say Kansas City by three, and that's what happened.
By
but
three.
It wasn't the exact point total.
Yeah, I did not. I mean, this was a fantastic game. And I feel like the last few Super Bowls have been great. I mean, although I did not watch the Kansas City Tampa Bay because I was still boycotting the NFL at that point. But I did watch Niners Kansas City. That was a great game. Sucked for us. Did not watch Tampa Bay Chiefs. And then I did watch, what was the one after that? I think that was just last year. It was the Rams and the Bengals, and that was a great Super Bowl, right? Great Super Bowl. Rams came out on top.
Especially for me.
Yeah, especially for you. And this one here, I thought there was no way, and I've been saying this for weeks, I thought Philadelphia Eagles had the best team top to bottom, and there was no way the Chiefs were beating them. And people were giving the Chiefs all kinds of credit that they could beat them simply because they had number 15, Patrick Mahomes, and nobody else did. And in the end, that's exactly what it came down to. They have Patrick Mahomes, who is the LeBron of the NFL. Mahomes threw to a bunch of dudes on one-year contracts. Juju Smith-Schuster is on a one-year contract. Kadarius Toney just got traded to them from the Giants after looking like he was hot garbage. He comes to Kansas City and balls for them, right? Marquez Valdes-Scantling, one-year contract. He's got all these dudes. Who else do you have there? Hardman. And of course, he's got Kelsey, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. But he's doing it with spare parts and bits and pieces around him. And the dude just does whatever it takes to get it done. And this was a fantastic game. No slight to either team. The Eagles were amazing. Jalen Hurts looked unstoppable. I mean, besides that one fumble for a touchdown, which was crazy, like the ball just happened to bounce, and it never does that. Like, all my years of playing football, watching football, it's so rare that a fumble just bounces right up into the dude's hand, and he's able to just run and take off. Usually, it's slipping all around like a damn banana peel, and nobody can get it, people are falling on it, but that happened just the right way for the Chiefs, and that's what killed, I mean, that basically was the game, right? Because they couldn't afford to give away points while Patrick Mahomes is not on the field. That's what it came down to. Patrick Mahomes on the field was getting points every single time. He was scoring touchdowns every time they had the ball. And he wasn't doing it like air raid offense, throwing it all over the field. He was taking what the defense gave him. And that is the craziest thing to watch about this dude, because you're watching the evolution of how great this guy is. He came in throwing the ball 400, 500 yards everywhere in the Super Bowl. He's throwing for crazy yards, yada, yada, yada. One year, if anybody remembers, I think it was last year, they were talking about, has the league figured out Patrick Mahomes? Because he didn't throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. That's what people were saying. People were trying to find a reason to downgrade this man and put Josh Allen over him, which we know now is ridiculous. This year, people tried to find a way to put Joe Burrow over him, which we know is ridiculous. This guy is just simply the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. Pure, simple, no other way around it. The greatest quarterback we've ever seen. Look, I mean, okay, check this out. Through their first, I think this is for his first 6 years, first six seasons in the NFL, first 5 years as a starter in the NFL compared to Tom Brady, who everybody universally wants to say is the GOAT. I don't. I've always thought he's the most accomplished, but there's always been better quarterbacks to me that I would take. Tom Brady, through the first 5 years as a starter, three Super Bowl wins. Patrick Mahomes has two. Super Bowl MVPs. Tom Brady has two. Patrick Mahomes has two. League MVPs. Patrick Mahomes has two. Brady, zero. Pro Bowls. Brady, three. Patrick Mahomes, five. First team All-Pro. Brady, zero. Patrick Mahomes, two. Passing yards. 18,000 for Brady. 24,000 for Patrick Mahomes. 123 touchdowns, 66 interceptions for Brady. 192 touchdowns to 48 interceptions for Mahomes. This is unlike anything we've ever seen. And I don't understand why we can't just see with our eyes that this is the greatest playing of the quarterback position we have ever seen. They take away the deep from the guy, and he figures out a way to check down and take what's underneath. It came with some bumps and bruises because that last year we saw him turning the ball over, trying to force it down the field to Tyreek and yada yada, and they started playing cover two and taking away the deep ball. So he had to be more patient. He took a year and learned to be patient. Take what the defense gives you. And then, of course, when he's taking what the defense gives you in this game and they win the game, all the analysts want to say, well, he was outplayed by Jalen Hurts. How? No, he wasn't. Jalen Hurts was spectacular. Patrick Mahomes did everything that was necessary to win the game. And I've said this on this podcast before. Sometimes it takes not messing up. Just don't mess up. That's a big part of playing the position of quarterback. Can you not fuck it up when it matters the most? Because most dudes will wet the bed. Most dudes will get in these pressure situations and try to make the big throw when you don't have to. You don't have to throw the ball 30 yards down the field when you got a running back like Pacheco out there in the flat. Just throw it to him and let him make the play. He knows I'll live to see another day if I just throw it to the flat and let the running back make something happen. And that's the most scary part about this dude, because if all of a sudden it's kind of like he's Neo in the Matrix. I felt like this about LeBron in the 2011-2012 season, when he came back after losing to the Dallas Mavericks and looking terrible in the finals. That dude came back the next year, and that was the best basketball I'd ever seen LeBron James play. It was like he saw everything happening a move before. He was different than everybody in the league from that point forward. And that's what I saw with Patrick Mahomes during the Super Bowl. He's just different. He was running. I mean, you expected Jalen Hurts to be the guy running all over the field. Patrick Mahomes was the one making the running plays. And he's just got everything you need. He can run and get your first downs. He'll throw it deep. He'll throw it short. He's out there playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. And I just didn't imagine that they could beat the Eagles. I just didn't imagine. The Eagles had the best defense in the NFL all season long. You know, the Niners and the Eagles, back and forth, right? And now people want to discount the Eagles and say, oh, the Eagles' defense was fraudulent. No, it wasn't. They just got beat by a mastermind. That's all that happened. They got beat by the best quarterback you've ever seen. That is what happened. That defense was lights out all year long. That defense was good in the Super Bowl. They just got outmatched by a dude who's better than everybody on the field. And I know it's hard for people to just get around that, because in our soul, most of our souls, we've got some hate in there, and we don't want to congratulate the greatness that we ever see, because that means that we might not be on that kind of level. But you're not. You're just not. This dude is the best we've ever seen do it at his position in his sport. It's just that simple. Your eyes are not lying to you. You were watching a guy be better than we've ever seen anybody be before. And then they want to go about the holding call with Bradbury. It was a hold. He came out and said it was a hold. But people want to argue with it. Well, they should swallow the whistle. Why should they swallow the whistle in the biggest game of the year? Why all of a sudden they're supposed to act like they didn't see the hold? And it doesn't have to be a tackle. All it needs to be is a grab of the jersey. Because if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you want to see that hold called. That impeded his progress. If it was the other way around, the Eagles would want that hold call. If it wasn't called, they'd be complaining if they lost the game. Hey, we didn't get that holding call. The refs swallowed the whistle. A foul is a foul is a foul is a foul. It don't matter when it happens. Doesn't matter where it happens. It's a foul. He grabbed the guy. That's it. You have to throw the flag and roll with it. And it sucks because Jalen Hurts didn't get a chance to get the ball back. But hey, that's not on the refs. That's on Bradbury. And he owned it. So live with it. But where do they go from here, right? I mean, because, okay, now Patrick's got his Super Bowl. What happens with the Chiefs next year? I mean, I can't imagine. What else are they going to, what else? They're primed. He's been in the AFC Championship game 5 years straight. 5 years straight. What's to stop them from doing it again next year? I know the AFC, people want to say the AFC is really tough, and it is. They've got all the quarterbacks over there. But in their division, hell, they're going to beat the Broncos again. I mean, they got Sean Payton, but I don't care. They still got Russ, and Russ is cooked. You got the Chargers with Herbert, and if they don't get any real speed at receiver, it's not going to matter. And then you got the Raiders, and they don't matter anyways. So the Chiefs are going to win their division again, barring, you know, any catastrophic injury. They're going to win their division again. They'll probably have home field advantage. And you're going to have to go through KC and Andy Reid and all these dudes, right? And they're keeping their quarterback. I mean, Eric Bieniemy, I guess, is interviewing for the Commanders' offensive coordinator position because I guess he'd be able to call plays there. But that's a terrible move. Why? Why in the world would you do that? You think you're going to go to the Commanders and show the league, hey, I can really coach with Sam Howell as your quarterback? Don't do it. Do not do that. Stay right where you're at and wait till Andy Reid decides he don't want to do this no more. Because Eric Bieniemy, if he can't get a job coaching, when he's calling plays and, you know, kind of the schemer for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, you damn sure ain't getting no job if you go to the Commanders and Sam Howell is calling the shots for you. That's not going to fly. So he needs to stay. They're going to keep Steve Spagnuolo. Nobody's giving him no damn new coordinator job, a head coach job. We've already seen that movie. He's a coordinator, not a head coach. They'll be back. They'll be fine. They've got LeBron. They're going to be just fine. They'll add pieces everywhere. They'll take care of the offensive line. The Chiefs are... They're the model for NFL teams. They're the model. They've got the greatest quarterback in the world. They've got a great coach. They've got a great front office. And they just make all the moves necessary to keep them relevant. As long as they've got Mahomes back there, they can slide a little bit of positions because they're going to be fine. And they've got him on a great contract. Remember when he got that $500 million contract over 10 years? It looks like a bargain now because he's not even making the most yearly on average. It's a bargain. They're able to do everything they want to do with the other players. And for the Eagles, I think the Eagles are stacked. They're loaded. They're going to lose a lot of free agents. James Bradbury is going to be one of them. Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, they're getting a little long in the tooth. They might have to get rid of those cats. And what are you going to do? You're not going to re-sign them to long-term deals. So they're going to come back for a one-year, two-year deal. I doubt it. They'll probably go somewhere and see if they can get some money somewhere else. But they've got picks. I mean, they've got a top 10 pick. They've got they grabbed a boy from the Bears, I think Roquan. They've got a little squad. They got a squad there. And the main thing is Jalen Hurts. And so what are you going to do with Jalen Hurts? Because they're going to give him extension. And what do you do, right? Do you do the Deshaun Watson? Do you give him 200, because it's got to be more than 230, because Deshaun got 230 a year ago. So now it's time to pay the Piper a little bit more. So you're going to give him 250 guaranteed, right? You're going to do 250. Or you're going to give him one of these Mahomes contracts, 10 years, and spread it all out so that you could still take care of the rest of your team, which I think sounds like the best deal to me. Spread it out over 10 years, right? Give him a guaranteed contract. Give him a bunch of money guaranteed up front and spread that thing out over 10 years. That's how you model. You just it's a copycat league. Copy the Chiefs, because Hurts deserves it. He jumped up, and it's not even like Hurts, because when I watched him last year against the Buccaneers, and I thought this dude might not be it. But the only reason I thought he might not be it is because he didn't have enough weapons around him. Now, I think Jalen Hurts is a dope quarterback. Do I think he's more talented than Lamar Jackson? No, I do not. Do I think he's more talented than Josh Allen? I don't know. They might be right there. I mean, Josh Allen might have more of a cannon for an arm, but I think their running style is kind of the same. I think Josh Allen might be a better runner, maybe, than Jalen Hurts. I'm not sure. But what do you do? I mean, like, he came up, and it's the same thing with Josh Allen. Josh Allen looked very bad his first two seasons, and then he got a real number one receiver, and they put other receivers around him, and he started looking better. Jalen Hurts had Devontae Smith. They grabbed him, A.J. Brown. All of a sudden, he takes leaps and bounds forward. He had a Josh Allen-type leap year where it looked like, oh, my God, he's not really that good, and then all of a sudden, he's an MVP candidate. That's how dope Jalen Hurts was this year. And that's what people need to understand. You put that kind of talent around a quarterback who's good, and they're going to do great things. It's just that simple. You can see it in Dallas. And God. I got to bring this up about Dak Prescott. He won the Walter Payton Man of the Year at the Super Bowl, and they were booing that man. They booed the Walter Payton Man of the Year. The crowd was booing him. That was the wackest thing I can imagine seeing. And I know that had to hurt for that dude, because he hasn't done anything but come back from a broken ankle and try to play football the best of his ability with less talent around him. And we're booing the Walter Payton Man of the Year for doing good in the community. And that is just low of low. And oh, man. And even after, earlier, the Dallas Cowboys media put out something where they were kind of throwing him under the bus. If I was Dak Prescott, man, I'd want to get the hell up out of there. Although I know that's not how he's going to ride with it, because that dude is built different. I've hung out with him. I talked to him. We did a commercial together. Didn't run, but I like the dude. I know what I can hear. I can feel his character in him. And I know he's going to want to stay there and make it right. And it's the same thing for him. You just got to get more weapons. CeeDee Lamb ain't enough. He needs another receiver around him. He is not, these guys aren't Patrick Mahomes. I keep telling people this. There's Patrick Mahomes and everybody else. Patrick Mahomes can do it without having a number one receiver on the outside. These other dudes can't. They need more help. Dak needs more help. But even with more help, they're still going to be in the top three of the NFC. I mean, it's the Niners, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. The Eagles have, with Jalen Hurts and the way they're going to structure this contract, and with Howie Roseman being the GM, and he is a fantastic GM, they've got draft picks, they've got everything going for them, they got a young team, they'll be back in the hunt. They just don't got Patrick Mahomes, and neither does your team. And that's the scariest thing for the NFL. But season's up. We move on to the draft, and we'll get ready in a couple months. Be back after the break. So, NBA All-Star break is upon us, and I could care less. I have lost all enthusiasm, all care for the All-Star game as I've gotten older, because these dudes don't care less and less every year. And people stop playing. They load manage the damn NBA All-Star Weekend, right? Like, you don't even get your best players or your favorite players playing in that game, going hard. I mean, the score is always now like 160 to 170. They changed the rule, and now you – I don't even remember how this thing goes. It's they add up the quarter and the total points, and you got to get to a certain number, and it's just – man, I don't care. They ain't playing no defense. It's just an exhibition, and I really could care less. The slam dunk competition don't matter. That last year was the worst I'd ever seen. This year, I don't even know who's in the slam dunk competition this year. I haven't even heard about it. So I think it is tonight, probably. The dunk competition's tonight. Yesterday was the Rising Stars game, and they had like four teams of seven players. They ain't got. Whoa. How many is that? 4 times 7 is 28. There ain't 28 Rising Stars in the NBA. Where they get all these dudes at? I'm watching G League. There was G League dudes playing in the Rising Star game. Now, I'm not saying the G League dudes are terrible, but I'm not trying to watch them dudes play a basketball game. Let them practice on their own time. My eyeballs ain't watching dudes in the G League practice. I'm not watching that. The most exciting thing about the All-Star is probably the three-point contest. I don't even know who's in that. I have no idea who's in. I mean, that's how much football dwarfs our awareness. Football takes over everything, and then we get ready for the All-Star, right? We get ready for basketball after football's over. And the All-Star weekend is this weekend, and just don't care. I do care, however, about the teams and what's going to happen. Oh, did you see this? This is kind of whack. Because they started doing this, you know, the team, LeBron, or they have the East and West leading vote getters. They pick their teams, and they've been doing that for the last, I think, 2 years. This year, though, they have changed how they're going to pick. So they avoid a last picked in the All-Star draft. The captains will instead pick reserve players first, then the starters. Who's sorry, soft ass was mad about being the last dude picked as a starter? Man, come on, dog. Just get out there and ball. There's levels to this, man. You ain't LeBron. You ain't Giannis, who are the captains of this year. So you get picked when you get picked. You a starter, you a starter. The starters get picked when the starters get picked. Who cares? I can't say that. This is one thing. One of my boy Stoney said this to me. Man, it's a soft-ass league. Yeah, that is very soft. Somebody is very soft. But it ain't a soft league. It's just somebody don't want to be the last pick. It's a soft-ass somebody. Not a soft-ass league. Soft-ass somebody. But I digress. I am excited about the rest of the season. The NBA trade deadline has become must-see TV. I mean, we got Kyrie traded over to the Mavericks, and I mean, it's only been, I think, 3 games, and they lost all 3 of them, and people are like, oh, it's not going to work. Well, what did you think it was going to work for? Did you think they were going to the finals because they got Kyrie? They were never going to the finals. So what do you mean it's not going to work? Yeah, we know it's not going. They're not going to win the finals with Kyrie and Luka playing dominant ball positions at guard. Both of these guys don't defend. And they both need the ball in their hands all the time. So what are they going to do? They're going to go back and forth. It's going to be the Bel Air offense, pass the ball to Luka, pass the ball to Kyrie and get out the way. Yeah, of course, it's not going to work. So why are we even talking about this? They weren't winning the championship. That's a non-story. It just sounds cool because Kyrie's a lightning rod and Kyrie's always talking and doing yada, yada, yada. But on the court, that's not going to work. They're not winning the championship. So who cares? The Phoenix Suns got Kevin Durant, who... I guess he just started practicing with them the other day. He had his press conference. You know, he was getting emotional and, you know, a little teary-eyed talking about, you know, he can't wait to get there and make things happen. And he was, you know, he liked the Nets and he was happy with it. Y'all better win. That's all. I mean, that's it. Y'all better win. I don't think they will because I don't trust old-ass Chris Paul in the playoffs. I mean, I don't trust him in the regular season right now. He's not looking too good right now. And I know when it gets time, crunch time, and it's time for the minutes to really matter and the pressure to go up, I just don't trust that Chris Paul is going to get it done. I know KD's going to ball, but is his body going to let him ball? Is he going to mess around and be hurt? Booker's going to be nice, you know, get your buckets. But who's playing D? They got rid of Mikal Bridges, who was their D guy on the perimeter. Jay Crowder was their D guy and a nice three-point shooter. Cam Johnson was a nice three-point shooter and stretch 4. They got back T.J. Warren and Kevin Durant. They kept Ayton, so they got a nice starting five. But after that, dog, that bench is, there's tumbleweed going down there. They can't mess around and have no kind of injuries because it's a wrap. I just don't, I mean, it sounds nice. They got a big three, sort of, but basically they got a big two and a half because Chris Paul ain't no big three no more. He ain't no big one no more. Chris Paul is a half. And of course, my Lakers. I don't know if we watched that game against the Pelicans. I know they was missing Zion. And Zion, Lord Jesus, just had another setback. He is becoming, it's scary. I'm worried. He is being, he's hurt. He's been hurt every, basically every other year. And it's not like they're catastrophic injuries. It's just like little nagging injuries. And I don't know what's going on. It's like his hamstring. And he had a setback, so he can't play right now. But he keeps getting hurt. And they're dangerous if they have him. If they have Zion on that floor, I mean, hell, he was like an MVP candidate before he went down. If they got Zion, that's a whole different team because now you got McCollum, Ingram, and Zion. Good Lord. Good Lord. And they got Murphy, Troy Murphy III out there shooting threes. They got your boy Herb, and that dude is a monster on defense. They got the little dude, he'd be annoying people, the little point guard Arroyo, I think his name is. Just, they got havoc out there. If they can have Zion playing. Now, I love the coach, Willie Green, dope. But my Lakers, though, you got a healthy AD, a healthy LeBron, D'Angelo Russell, who I always said I knew he was not going to be special in this league. And when the Lakers drafted him number two overall, he got here, and I was like, oh, that dude's too slow. He can't play defense, and he can't get his own shot off. He's not fast enough to get by anybody to get his own shot. He's going to have pump fakes. The only way that dude's going to really make some noise in this league is if he becomes a knockdown three-point shooter. If he could be a spot-up and a knockdown three-point shooter and play with somebody that gets him the rock. He had to leave L.A. and go through some life everywhere else and get back here. And now he's in a perfect spot with LeBron James and Anthony Davis because they're going to command double teams. That dude is going to be able to get threes. And with his three-point shot, now he doesn't need all these pump fakes, right? With all that space, he's going to get threes, and now people are going to play him tighter, and now he's an NBA player. He can go by people who are all up on him. He can get by some people, and when he gets by people, they're not going to want to leave LeBron James. That's going to give him more space to work with. This is a perfect situation for D'Angelo Russell. Rui Hachimura is going to, oh man, he looks so good with the Lakers. I love having this dude as like a fourth, fifth option on the team, which is what he needs to be. He was with the Wizards. He's supposed to be their third best player. He's not that. But having him with LeBron and AD and D Russ, and now you bring Schroeder off the bench. And we got Malik Beasley to come in there and give us minutes. Vanderbilt is a dope power forward, you know, defender. They've got depth. They've got real NBA players. This is a squad now. And when this All-Star break is over, I'm looking for them to make this push. I mean, look, they're right now the 13th seed in the West, right? But that's only 3.5 games behind the number six. 3.5 games behind number six, which is Dallas, who is kind of been in a free fall since they grabbed Kyrie. They're only five games back of the Suns. Four and a half games back of the Suns. The West is wide open for somebody for the Lakers to get up. The Lakers don't have to be in the play-in. They're going to get up there into the top six seeds with this squad now. And man, first round of the playoffs, you do not want to see this team. And people keep talking about Denver. Well, nobody wants to see. I don't think Denver's that. Denver is nice. They've got a really good team. But when it comes time for the playoffs, which is what I've been seeing and been saying for years, Jokic is dope. I love that dude. But in the playoffs, when everybody is super fast and athletic, he just can't run with them. AD. Dwight Howard gave him the blues that year. The Lakers won the championship. Gave him the blues. He could not guard AD, and Dwight Howard just busted him up, right? Like, and now the Lakers, we got Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba is a dude to just put a body on Jokic. And Mo Bamba, just press up on him. That's all you're going to do for this series is play D. And the Memphis, who, nobody's worried about Memphis. Outside of Ja, what do they got? They got Dillon Brooks, who, that's their second option. Jaren Jackson's supposed to be their second or third option. They're just a team. They're not that good either. Sacramento, smoke and mirrors. Clippers are the team that I'm scared of. Because once they get everything in place and they've got Kawhi no longer load managing and Paul George balling, and if they get Russell Westbrook as well to come off the bench, they're going to have a squad there. So I'm looking at the Clippers, Phoenix, and the Lakers out west as being the teams that really people got to watch out for. And of course, in the East, you got Boston and Milwaukee. I think that's it. Boston, Milwaukee are the squads. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and a bunch of dudes around them that just ball. It's going to be Boston and Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals again. And I can't wait to see that because that's going to be a damn series right there. But don't sleep on these Lakers, baby. They coming. Yo, you've been listening to I'm Probably Right. My name is Reggie Watkins. Thank you. Rate us, review us, subscribe, comment. Please don't be hating. My man Kevin Cleveland's running the show, engineering, producing. Thank you so much, sir. If you like the podcast, tell a friend, share it. Make sure you find us wherever you find your podcast at, but mainly Believe Podcast Network. That's BLEAV.com. BLEAV.com. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to y'all soon. Peace.